Well, well, well. I'm afraid I've got some bad news. Steelers going to have some problems at Cincinnati on Sunday. And let me tell you what the big problem is going to be. The Bengals aren't the Bungles anymore. That's been eradicated. You could always count on the Bungles to blow it. Perfect, Pac-Man, dumb penalty, playoff win for Pittsburgh. But that was then, this is now. Cincinnati dominated the Steelers twice last year. They're the Bengals. No more Bungles. We are less than 72 hours away from that game at Cincinnati. I'm making my prediction for the Steelers' record on the year. I'm going to do that tomorrow at 4 o'clock. If you're so inclined, I'd like you to make yours today. So call now and tell me, what will the Steelers' record be, and will they make the playoffs? 412-333-WXDX. And I got some other questions, too. Are you assuming a loss at Cincinnati Sunday? Like it's just a warm-up game? Can the Steelers run the ball? Because I bet Najee has to struggle for every yard. Can the Steelers stop the run? I'm going to say yes, but my disclaimer is included in the next question, which is Devin Bush going to suck or what? Because I sense he's going to play no matter what. These and other questions will be answered beginning Sunday at 1 p.m. when the Steelers play their season opening game at Cincinnati. This is the Mark Madden Show. If loving me is wrong, you don't want to be right. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. We have a blockbuster of a show today. The legendary Blue Oyster Cult are at the Carnegie Music Theater in Homestead tomorrow night. Eric Bloom of BOC joins me in just a little bit at 3:15. Then at 4:15, America's finest football writer from NBC Sports, it's Peter King. Then at 5:15, he'll be appearing all year long during Steeler season from the Post-Gazette, it's Jerry Dulac. I'm at the 31 Sports Bar in Bridgeville to watch the NFL opener tonight. That is Buffalo at the LA Rams. Buffalo, a favorite on the road against the defending Super Bowl champions. We'll talk about that game a bit later. Then Sunday, I'm going to watch the Steelers at the Schoolhouse Tavern in Claridge. So the schedule is full, but what matters most is Steelers at Cincinnati on Sunday. Actually, what matters most is Eric Bloom at 3:15, Blue Oyster Cult tomorrow night. But this is nominally a sports talk show. Yeah, the questions go on and on when it comes to that Steelers game at Cincinnati, and indeed the Steelers in general. You can call up and answer as many questions as you like. To continue, is that Steeler defense going to be dominant? Because I would say top 10, but not top 5. And they need to be top 5 to have a shot at the playoffs. Who's going to cover Chase Sunday and Higgins and Boyd? That ain't going to be too easy. Can the Steelers contain Mixon? What I think they're going to do in coverage, they're going to double Chase and man up on Higgins. But I can't imagine who they have that is man enough to man up on T. Higgins, who would be the number one receiver on most NFL teams. Can the Steelers score points? I honestly don't know, but I bet Trubisky plays good. And like I've been saying, the key is hurt Joe Burrow. Hurt Joe Burrow. Hurt Joe Burrow. As far as injuries go, we're hearing Deontay Johnson might not play. That'd suck, but the way they don't lie, they can't lie, but they don't tell the truth either. So who knows if Deontay Johnson is going to play. 412-333-WXDX. Just a quick note from me being bored and watching TV. I finally saw, I think it got put out last year, the ESPN E60. That's kind of their poor man's version of 30 for 30. This episode talked about the Joe Paterno legacy. Did I mention having watched that? it was okay. Nothing new. I'm just kind of shocked that anybody thinks Joe Paterno's legacy is anything worth talking about now. He has no legacy. All anybody really remembers is the Sandusky thing. And that's unfair, and it's a shame, but it's true. The Penguins start camp in a couple weeks. Good, then we can talk hockey. Right now, it's Steeler time. I do feel like the Steelers have a chance at Cincinnati. I wouldn't predict it. I certainly wouldn't bet it, but I do feel like the Steelers have a chance. Let's go to Michael in Pittsburgh. Michael, you're on with Double M.
Hi. Nice to meet you. I just had a question, even though you do not like talking about the Penguins right now during
Yeah, we're not
season.
Going to. Let's go to Sean in the truck. Sean, help me get the momentum of the show back when Dorksky wanted to break in with a Penguins call. And I love the Penguins, but my God, what day is it? Then again, I'm talking to a guy from Blue Oyster Cult in a couple minutes. What do you want, buddy?
Good day, big fan.
I said
6-11 at best for this team.
Well, I don't know at best, but 6-11 would not shock me. Tell me why.
Offensive line's going to get all three quarterbacks killed, and I don't see the defense stopping the run this year.
You know what? That was quick and to the point, and I don't necessarily disagree. I'm not sure they get all three quarterbacks killed, but I bet all three have to start. And I just feel like anything good the rest of the team does will be undone, neutralized by the worst offensive line in the league. Everyone's saying it's the worst offensive line in the league. And you got people saying Trubisky's the worst quarterback in the league, and I disagree, but what if they're right?
Hey, we'll see. Appreciate it, Mark.
Thank you for the call. Let's go to John in the car. John, you're on with Mark.
So I've been back and forth on this. I think I'm going to settle on 8-9 for the season.
Okay.
Possibly 9-8. But I don't think they made the playoffs because I think it's pretty high chance that all the wild card teams come from the AFC West, don't you?
No, I think they'll knock each other off, but I think it's going to take 10 wins to get a wild card regardless of what division they come from.
I agree on the 10 wins.
Yeah, you know, 9-8, it wouldn't shock me. 8-9 wouldn't either, but we'll see what I go with. I almost gave it away when I predict tomorrow at 4 o'clock. That'll be my official prediction. Okay, up next. They are at the Carnegie Music Theater in Homestead tomorrow night. They're absolute legends in their 50th year. What's their tour slogan? On Tour Forever. From Blue Oyster Cult, it's original member Eric Bloom. Vocals and stun guitar, whatever that means. I'm going to ask him. Eric Bloom next on 105.9.
And now the super genius, Mark Madden.
Hey, Double S, big fan, man.
Thanks.
If you were a hot dog and you were starving, would you eat yourself? I would. I'd be delicious.
Ditto.
The X at 105.9.
My guest right now is on vocals and stun guitar for Blue Oyster Cult and has been for the entirety of the band's 50-year run. The legendary rockers are at the Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead tomorrow night. We welcome now Eric Bloom. Eric, I've heard it described for decades, but I don't know. Tell me, what exactly is stun guitar?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Can you answer it?
Well, back in the day, actually, I'm whipping out the stun guitar this pretty soon because we're playing a 50th anniversary shows in New York coming up. It is a effect with fuzz tone, and not many people play fuzz tone anymore.
Okay, I'll buy that. I know it sounds great and unique. And as you mentioned, this is the 50th anniversary of Blue Oyster Cult. I took the name in 1972. How did it last that long? That is an amazing run.
Well, it has to do with not having fist fights in the middle of shows, which many bands seem to do these days.
Have you ever come close?
No. You know, we've had some bickering, you know, over the years, but you know, and I've seen some bands not get along, and obviously you do know that there are some bands that don't have you know, some original members anymore, but Buck and I, we get along, you know, even though we might be political opposites, which we won't discuss, but we on many matters, we get along, we write songs together, and you could witness 2 years ago, we put out a new album, and it's we're still rocking.
What inspires your songwriting, Eric? A Blue Oyster Cult has a lot of science fiction and war imagery. It's off the beaten girl meets boy path, to be sure.
Well, I think we sort of tried to avoid that stuff and just not be, you know, that kind of band. And we'd rather write about stuff that we like growing up, you know, comic books and science fiction movies and... And, you know, it stood us in good stead, you know, over all these years.
What have been the absolute peaks of Blue Oyster Cult? What do you look back on most?
Well, you know, we've had some ups and some downs and then some ups again. So, you know, plenty of good highlights. We, in the early days, you know, we certainly had some hits and, took a break in the mid 80s and then climbed all the way back up again. And now we're doing great. So, you know, plenty of highs and smiles.
I'm almost obligated to ask this. What's your take on the cowbell skit, Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live? Because it sparked exposure, but it also poked fun.
Oh, we enjoyed it. You know, we thought it was very funny. And obviously, Will Ferrell wrote that skit, and it was actually rejected by the SNL staff the first couple of times, and they bid on it, and then now pretty much it's the number one skit of all time, and to people's memory, and we're all for it.
Who actually played Cowbell on Reaper? I don't think I've ever seen that definitively answered.
It cannot be definitively answered because there's three different people that claim they did it. And you know, throughout history, certain people remember it differently.
How do you remember it?
I believe I did it. and you know, different people remember it differently. So it's forgotten through the strands of time.
We're talking to Eric Bloom of Blue Oyster Cult. They play tomorrow night at the Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead, a part of their On Tour Forever tour. What's Blue Oyster Cult's legacy? Is it Reaper or creating a certain sound or your live work? What?
You know, we're just a bunch of guys from New York who were just lucky enough that the chemistry of the original bunch of guys seemed to click. And, you know, we were just, you know, lucky that the chemistry worked and the record label, the original record label, you know, we were originally signed to Elektra Records and Jack Holtzman, who was the president of Elektra at that time, you know, we did two records for them. Nothing ever happened. And then, you know, Clive Davis, who is, you know, a very famous guy in the music business, saw through that, we were different and gave us a shot. And those first three records were, you know, each one did better than the next. And then the fifth album, the fourth one was live. The fifth one was, you know, I had Don't Fear the Reaper on it. And from then on, you know, we were, you know, playing, you know, Coliseums and whatever and everything. Everything's, you know, you might have a fatalistic look to it, you know. Everything's kind of meant to be.
Now, you mentioned New York City, and Blue Oyster Cult did spring up out of New York City. Forgive this question if it sounds dumb, but I've always felt that Blue Oyster Cult kind of sounds like New York City, like busy, dynamic, just the right amount of chaos. Is that an accurate assessment?
You know, we're not really from New York City, but if you, you know, take it that way, you know, I grew up in Queens, which is, you know, sort of just outside New York City. The other guys are from Long Island and upstate New York, and there's just enough chaos going on in the music to make people feel that way.
Now, I think a lot of groups have been influenced by Blue Oyster Cult. I'm sure you agree. Do any spring to mind? I mean, that's quite a tribute when a group, sounds like you guys.
Well, I don't know about sounds like,
You know what I
but
mean, just that influence.
yeah, well, I mean, a lot of bands that admit to it. Metallica's covered us and has admitted that they listened to us in high school and covered us, and they have covered a couple of our songs. Metallica covered Veteran of the Psychic Wars and Astronomy, and admits to being fans of ours going back in the day. And a lot of our songs have been covered over the years. And, Reaper was in Halloween, and a lot of bands mention us as listening to us as when they were youngsters. And we are the gray beards of a certain metal generation.
How do you pick your set list? I was on that Rock Legends cruise you guys did. I saw you guys play 3 nights, and you changed the set list just about every night. That showed a great concern for the fans who were there, for every show. But it's quite a catalog.
Yeah, well, I personally write the set list maybe 35, 40 minutes before each show, and I try to make it different. And especially like on that rock cruise, I knew that, you have a captive audience because, the people on the ship are the only people who are going to come. So, I know, I mean, it's obvious we're going to play the obvious 3 songs, every night, but, I try to change, I mean, when you're together with a band, who has such a deep catalog like we do, people can wander in to, the venue you're playing. And you want to be sure that there's something different if the people come, more than one night. So I change the set list, and I do that almost every night, no matter where we play.
Now, you mentioned having worked with Buck Dharma all these years, and there's no doubting the credentials for either of you two, but that's a pretty good band you've assembled around you guys, isn't it?
Well, the other 3 guys have been with us over 15 years each. So it's not like it's a bunch of noobs,
Right.
that we have. And just as a sidebar, we're doing these 3 shows in New York, the 21, 22, and 23, where we're playing the first album, second album, the third album each night in their entirety, plus an extra set of classics with Albert Bouchard, our original drummer.
Oh, that'll be very interesting. Eric, thank you for taking the time. Can't wait to see you guys at Carnegie Library Music Hall of Homestead tomorrow night. One last thing. Somebody told me you're a Teak, a member of the Tau Kappa Epsilon fraternity.
I was, but that's ancient history because
Well,
I graduated college in 67.
me too. I graduated in 82, but I was a Teak as well. If I see you, I'll give you the secret handshake. Hey, this means a lot. Thanks so
You mean you're going to wiggle your ears?
Something like that, yeah. Eric, thank you so much for taking the time. This means a lot. Looking forward to tomorrow night, and have a good show. Thank you very much.
All right, bye-bye.
That's Eric Bloom from Blue Oyster Cult. I didn't get the wiggle your ears joke, but I'm sure there's something there to laugh at. Great. What's it say about this show? How on brand is it that on the Thursday before the Steeler opener, we're talking rock and roll with Eric Bloom of Blue Oyster Cult? That is so on brand. But we'll get back to the Steelers in just a second. I also, I got a report of Kenny Pickett. What caused him to be not really considered, and he wasn't, I told you, not really considered for the number one job, and what he has to do to kind of play catch-up ball to become the starter. I'll talk about that in just a little bit here on 105.9 The X.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
None of what you're saying is reasonable. It's laughable. Ah. You're already dumb. Let's see if you can go to dumber.
The X at 105.9.
Queen Elizabeth passed away today at the age of 96, to which I can only add, God save history. God save your mad parade. Lord God have mercy. All crimes are paid. you know, you live to be 96. You won. You know, she had a life of luxury, of exaggerated responsibility. Sad to see her go, but come on, 96. I see people online. It's such a shame. A woman, she had years. No, she didn't have years left. I mean, sad to see her go. Now the guy with big ears is finally king, right? And he's real old. It's a shame that Diana passed in that car wreck. I thought she had legitimate royalty about her. I really did. So anyway, Queen Elizabeth, R.I.P. Now, here's some, I don't want to say breaking news. It's more like a long-term outlook in the wake of a short-term result about Kenny Pickett. Now, we all know that Kenny Pickett is going to be the starter by next year at the latest. Right now, he's the number two, not the number three. He's not the starter now. People thought he would be. But, you know, there was never a real competition because of what I'm about to talk about. I'm told the reason there wasn't legitimate competition and why they felt the need to have a Trubisky in addition to a Pickett and a Mason Rudolph on top of that is because the Steelers do feel Kenny Pickett is having problems with his small hands, specifically his small fingers. His fingers are said to be minuscule. You know, they talked about this at the Combine. All the scouts mentioned it. It's nothing new. Kenny Pickett has tried gloves. He's tried Stick'Em. He's tried inserts. He's tried Viagra, Cialis, air pumps, injections, implants, Blue Chew, anything to inflate and get longer. He's tried all of it, and none of it works. Pickett's fingers are small and limp. Pickett just can't get a grip, can't get traction, can't satisfy. His receiver is left wanting, always wanting more. People say it happens to every guy, projectile dysfunction. But it never happened to me. The only conclusion is that Kenny Pickett isn't really a man. Trubisky, he's a man. His passes are long. They're straight. They explode with a throbbing vengeance because size does matter. Big hands, baby. Big hands. 412-333-WXDX. A pleasure to have Eric Bloom on the show. Blue Oyster Cult plays tomorrow night at the Carnegie Music Hall of Homestead. I'm in the front row. They have, like, any good parking out there? If somebody knows, call the show and tell me. I have real small hands, too. I never had, you know, that problem, that projectile dysfunction like Pickett. So anyway, we got Steelers and Bengals on Sunday. I feel like the Steelers have a chance, but I also feel like they're going to lose. Cincinnati beat Pittsburgh twice last year and dominated both games. I mean dominated. As I said at the top of the program, the Bengals are now the Bengals. They have confidence. They don't feel like things are going to go wrong. They don't expect failure when they play the Steelers. And that trickles down from Joe Burrow, who is not only quite a quarterback, but the team has taken his personality. You know, he's made some big statements, but then he got him to a Super Bowl last season. I mean, how can you bet on Trubisky over Joe Burrow? I have faith in Trubisky, but maybe not that much. Trubisky ain't the worst quarterback in football, like that website said. What was it? The Ringer. But Trubisky ain't Joe Burrow. Unless the Steelers hurt Joe Burrow. Hurt Joe Burrow. Hurt Joe Burrow. I'd like to see Watt and Hayward hit Burrow with divorce courts. It not only separates your shoulder, it divorces it from your body. I am psyched for the NFL season. Fired up. You got Buffalo and L.A. tonight. I'll be at 31 Sports Bar and Grill, Kenny Reagan's place in Bridgeville, to watch that game. L.A. a 2.5-point underdog at home against Buffalo, despite being defending Super Bowl champions. That said, Buffalo seems to be the team most people are picking to win the Super Bowl. We'll talk to Peter King about that at 4:15. Peter King from NBC Sports, America's best football writer. Peter King has picked the last three Super Bowl winners in September. like right now. He picks the Super Bowl winner for months away right now. You know, Buffalo might have been the best team last year. I don't want to say that loss to Kansas City was a fluke, but pretty close. And those were two great teams that it just kind of turned on a dime that game. You know, Buffalo didn't get the ball back. They fixed that rule. If you want to call it fixed, I think you can play defense too. I don't think that should be something you just ignore and change your rule because you don't want to acknowledge. You got Cleveland and Carolina on the weekend. Baker Mayfield against his old team. And before Christian McCaffrey gets hurt again, which he will. Carolina, a two-point favorite. I would take Carolina in that one. I'm on Team Baker. Cleveland screwed him over, and Orchette for that creep, Deshaun Watson. Philadelphia, Detroit, I don't know why, but that strikes me as interesting because I like that coach in Detroit. Las Vegas at the LA Chargers. The Chargers are my pick to win it all. You can hear that in the gambling podcast I taped today. It goes up any minute now. Wait till you hear who my MVP pick is, and I'm betting big money on this MVP pick. That'll be on the podcast. Tampa Bay at Dallas. Sunday Night Football. Is Tom Brady going to show up, or is he going to stay at home and help the missus with the dishes, which I think he should, by the way. You know, it wouldn't shock me if Brady just walks away from it midseason if Giselle don't come home. And I think Brady should have quit this year. He's played 22 years. He's won 7 rings. He's made, what was it, 330-some-odd million. You know, he's done enough. He has enough. And if at this point your family and your wife aren't more important than football at age 45, then maybe it's time for you to get a divorce. Which, hey, Brady will move on to a 30-something. Won't be Giselle, but won't be bad. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. I'll tell you what I think the most interesting matchup is for Sunday's game. Because as we've talked about, I thought Cincinnati was breaking in 3 new offensive linemen. They're breaking in 4. They've replaced the whole shebang, and that's good because those guys sucked. Burrow got sacked 9 times in a playoff game by Tennessee and somehow still won. If I'm Joe Burrow in that game getting sacked 9 times, after about the 5th sack, I wave to the sideline, get the sub in, you're on your own, I've done enough, this hurts. But Joe Burrow's made of sterner stuff. But the matchup for Sunday you're looking at is T.J. Watt against Leo Collins, the right tackle. He used to be with Dallas. Collins is good, but I like Watt's chances. I heard somebody today on the B team say, well, they should drop everybody back into coverage. You know, that would be the best approach against Cincinnati. Yeah, you pay T.J. Watt $1 zillion, and let's drop him back into coverage. I don't know if that was specifically what they said, but that's what I heard. 412-333-WXDX. Watt's going to be a problem for the Bengals. But I'm going to tell you later, a little later, a problem with the Bengals pass rush that the Steelers are going to have to deal with because there's a matchup there that doesn't quite favor the Steelers. I wish I could bet on whether Ozzy Osbourne survives the concert tonight. He is playing at halftime. At least they say he's playing. I'm curious to see exactly what they have him do. Will there be tapes involved? Will there be a band up there? Will it just be video? Will he just, you know, wave and make the peace sign like he does? I don't know. But Ozzy just had major surgery in June. He's been in bad shape for a long time, and now he's going to go out there and do a song. I mean, what's he going to do? I'm not sure that's been made clear. Ozzy did an interview, I think it was yesterday, where he said that he feels capable of playing a full concert. I would have to see to believe. Don't forget, I'm at Kenny Raggett's tonight, the 31 Sports Bar and Grill in Bridgeville for the Rams and the Bills. I can't believe the Rams are underdogs at home after having won the Super Bowl. I know how good the Bills are, but the Rams might be better. They got that Bobby Wagner. I mean, the Rams, I mean, you know what, though? I got to tell you, I didn't trust Matt Stafford as the Rams quarterback last year, and he won a Super Bowl, and now, guess what? I still don't trust him. Still do not trust him. He won the Super Bowl. Ain't nobody can ever take that away from him, but I still don't trust him. You know what bet I wish I could get down? Bet Rivers, if you're listening, get this up on your website. Mitch Trubisky is the only quarterback who started more than X amount of games since 1950 that's never thrown a pick six. I wish I could get a bet down on him to throw one Sunday at Cincinnati. And I think Trubisky's going to do good, but as soon as you talk about that stuff, and he's the only guy to never, Mitch Trubisky ain't as bad as some people make him out to be, but he's not a quarterback for whom the word never should ever apply in a positive sense. So I wish I could get a bet down on that. 412-333-WXDX, because it was displaced by Eric Bloom of Blue Oyster Cult of 315. Up next is the Bucko Roundup. The Bucko Roundup just around the corner. And I want your calls. I want your Steeler record predictions. I'm making mine tomorrow at 4 p.m. What do you predict? 412-333-WXDX.
And now, the super genius, Mark Madden.
He don't do nothing but win. He just knows how to win.
Super G, loud and proud.
He is horrible. He is terrible.
The X at 105.9.
That monologue I just did about the projectile dysfunction, the Kenny Pickett thing with the small fingers, which, by the way, is true. It is a concern with the Steelers, as far as you know. Nobody locally could do that. Nobody combines sports with funny locally. In fact, nationally, very few could do it. So if I suck, I suck. But let's see you do that. You know, it's funny. Like, I DM'd Ryan Whitney from Spittin' Chicklets, the former Penguin, about coming on the show to plug there. They have an appearance coming up in the opening hockey weekend, the Spittin' Chicklets guy. I never heard back from them, and, you know, they don't need to appear because they sold it out already. But it's kind of funny because I think those guys like Biz and Wit hate me now, and that's okay. They can't. But they're typical of bro culture. If you're not for us, you're against it. Any disagreement you have means we hate you and it's a blood feud. And that's okay. Believe me, I'm very aware of the job I do and what it takes to do it. And, you know, good for their success. It's not the way I would choose to approach, but good for them. And they did sell out wherever it is, so good for them. It's time for the Bucko Roundup. The Mets swept a doubleheader at PNC Park yesterday, one in the afternoon and one in the evening. New York won the first game 5-1 and the second game by the narrow margin of 10-0. The Pirates got 11 hits all day. One run. 18 innings, 11 hits, one run. They played baseball all day. They played baseball from 12:30 till about 10, and they got 11 hits and one run. But O'Neill Cruz got three hits. He's all the way up to 218. The Pirates are off today, mercifully. Only two teams in baseball have a worse record. The Pirates are on pace to win 59 games, have 103 losses. But hey, exit velocity. We all know this team's going to be great someday. When is that day? When does the future arrive? I don't know, but I do know they're going to be great someday. And that's the Bucko Roundup. Did I say that already? That's the Bucko Roundup. Click. That's the Bucko Roundup. Click. That's the Bucko Roundup. Click. This is Chuck telling Bill to shut up. To shut up. To shut up. I am excited about football being on top of us. Excuse me, sneeze button there. I get in those... I start the sneeze, then stop, then start, then stop, then start. And I don't want you to hear me sneeze because that would ruin the program. This is otherwise an Emmy Award, Grammy Award, Oscar Award, whatever award they give to radio. That's the caliber of this broadcast, as long as you don't hear me sneeze. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, I'm psyched that football's back. L.A. Rams host Buffalo tonight. I do understand why Buffalo's the favorite in that game by 2.5. Buffalo's excellent. Excellent. Josh Allen might be the guy, but the pressure is on, definitely in Buffalo. If Buffalo doesn't win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, it's a fail. A big fail. And don't forget, they ain't never won a Super Bowl there, and never's a long time. Like with Kenny Pickett never having thrown he's never done it either. With Mitch Trubisky never having thrown a pick six in the NFL, never doesn't seem to apply. With Buffalo never having won a Super Bowl, yeah, I'm kind of okay with that. And they lost the Jim Kelly years. Wow. That would scar a lesser man, but Jim Kelly, we know what he's made of. He's awesome. So if Buffalo don't win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years, it's a big fail. But let's get back to some of those questions I asked at the top of the show. Who's going to cover Ja'Marr Chase? They got to double on him. But if you double on him, you got to man up on T. Higgins, who would be the number one receiver on most teams. Of all the Steelers' D-backs, the cornerbacks, who would you put one-on-one with T. Higgins? Akello Witherspoon has the rep of a guy who might be a cover guy. That's not a ringing endorsement. He might be a cover guy. Let's let him cover T. Higgins. Yikes. But that's probably what I'd try. Or maybe you just see which side they go to. I don't know. I think the more you have specific duties for a guy like Akello Witherspoon. You know who was like that? He was a better player, to be sure. Ike Taylor. Ike Taylor was dumb. Still is. He signs his autograph in block letters, IKE24. He's dumb. D-U-M-B, everyone's accusing me, dumb. So they got tired of trying to weave him into schemes. So what they did with Ike Taylor was say, okay, you cover that guy. And he was good at it. That's what you got to do with some guys. Simplify to get the most out of him. Ike Taylor just covered that guy, and he did. I don't know if Witherspoon's that kind of guy. His name, Akello Witherspoon, I would think the chore that is signing his autograph would probably make him more intelligent. Not like IKE24 block letters. You also wonder how much dime we're going to see, how much Devin Bush is going to be on the field. Again, in some ways, I do feel kind of good about the Steelers. Watt can get to Burrow, and not just Watt. The Bengals changed their line so much. You got a rookie at left guard, new center, new right guard, new right tackle. We talked about Collins at right tackle earlier from Dallas. And none of them are all pros, so I think they can get to Burrow, which leads me back to my proposition I've been saying all week when it comes to Steelers having a chance. Hurt Joe Burrow. Hurt Joe Burrow. Hurt Joe Burrow. Now, I got some NFL predictions next. This segment, by the way, brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at CWElectricalServices.com. And Peter King joins me at 4:15. I want to hear what he has to say about the Steelers because the predictions for the Steelers are all over the place. Pro Football Talk says the Steelers win the division and win a playoff game. I think that's insane. Sports Illustrated says they go 6-11. That would not surprise me, although it's not what I'm going to predict, I don't think. It's crazy. The optimists look at Tomlin and the rep and the stars on defense. The pessimists look at the offensive line and Trubisky and the schedule. Division title or 6-11 and all points in between. Up next, I got my predictions for the season. Not my Steeler prediction, but my predictions for the season otherwise. And then we got Peter King at 4:15. Keep it right here on 105.9.